And good evening and welcome to Revheads for another week with me, Desire. And another week has passed us by, some great weather. We're in for some rain coming up soon though, I think, and not looking forward to it. Not looking forward to it at all. However, at the moment down here, good old Semaphore, it's 26.2 degrees. And the max today was supposed to be up around the 28 mark. So I'm not sure if we got there, but I've been certainly enjoyed today, and I think we're in for some good weather the rest of the week. And what else have we got? So Wednesday is supposed to be 22 tomorrow, and possible shower in the morning. Bummer. And Thursday, 20 degrees, cloudy, it's clearing. Thursday, it's clearing, it's 20, and on Friday, my favourite day of the week, Friday, as you all know, because I look forward to the weekend. Come 5 o'clock Friday, frothy time, and then it's Saturday. And we're in some good weather on Saturday as well. I think we're up for around about 31 Saturday and 28 on Sunday, so we've got some good weather ahead of us for the remainder of the week. And probably a little bit of rain might come our way, who knows. But I guess we'll just have to wait and see how it pans out for the rest of the week. Now tonight we're talking rally, Scouts Rally, or State Championships, coming up this weekend. And we're having the, I think it was Clark of the Course. He was doing all of it, I think. Clark of the Course, everything. Ryan Jones. But unfortunately, Ryan is flat-strapped getting everything sorted out for this weekend. So he sent over to us one of the star drivers, Guy Tyler. Is that correct? Tyler? Did I get it right?
Yes, it's Guy. G-U-Y.
G-U-Y? Tyler. Yeah. Now, the last time I heard that name was the Wolfie 100. So we had Ryan in here, and you were the winner.
Yeah, no, it was a very good event.
Yeah. You won that by, how many points did you win by?
Well, we won, I think it was around about 2 minutes in the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had a good lead up until the last few stages where we had a few issues. We had to get a kangaroo and put it off the road, but
it was really fun that was off the side of the road when they it stopped. There was one Rob was telling me that the guys come around the corner or something, or and there was a car. Fortunately, it was off the track, and it was on the side.
No,
that wasn't you.
No, that
was a kangaroo.
Yeah, that was
damage.
Not too much. Fortunately, it was actually on the way to a stage. It wasn't even on the competitive section. It just came out of nowhere. It was dusk. Hit you in the front right of the car where the oil cooler is. Actually bent the oil cooler but didn't puncture it. So
you still managed for the rest of the weekend?
Yeah.
With the same oil cooler?
Yeah, just.
Just.
Pretty lucky.
I've got to drive to Melbourne in a couple of weeks and I'm not looking forward to driving at night because the kangaroos come out from nowhere.
Yes.
And the last time I drove, there was a broomhead that was falling off a vehicle. Not the handle, the head, on the road. So I thought, in the Commodore, I'll be right. I couldn't go to the right because there was a white load coming.
Yep.
Couldn't go to the left because there was a ditch and it was gravel. And I knew where I was going to end up. So I thought, I'll slow down and go over it. Thought I'd make it. Didn't. Put a hole right through the sump. I got towed from Pinneroo back to Adelaide. And the broom head fell off it. I shoot. It was a council truck, because they had the logo of the council on the road. Bingo. Pretty devastated. Now, we're talking about the Scout Rally, isn't it?
Yeah, it's called Scout Rally, isn't it?
Yeah. And now, this event, this weekend, is a championship event.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's the last round for the Australian Rally Championship and the South Australian Rally Championship. It's usually ran in the deep dark winter, like June, July. But they've changed it to October now, and it's going to be very interesting to see how it is, because it's going to be a whole lot drier.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, because you look, there'll be more dust about. Mm. Why did they change it from winter? Because I suppose it's a bit of mud around.
Yeah, we're usually swimming.
Yeah.
No idea, really. Just changes in other rallies, and a bit of want to change for.
Well, at least you know you're going to have a nice firm surface.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. I probably prefer the dry, which would be nice. So I'm looking forward to a good event. We're in the lead of the South Australian Rally Championship at the moment.
Yeah.
Me and my co-driver, Steve Bishop. So we're looking to wrap that up in the weekend.
And this is an Evo you drive, Subaru Evo.
Evo 5.
Evo 5. Now, there's a guy that does hill climbing. I think he owns the Mercedes at Mount Gambier franchise, or not franchise, the dealership up there.
Yep.
And he does an Evo, and he wins the hill climbs all the time. And this Evo, that must be a pretty mean machine, the Evos.
They're a good car, and also they're reliable. Like, they were built from the era that, the manufacturers had to build cars that were tough enough to take into rally because they couldn't be modified because they were like a Group M type car, which, basically had to be built out of the factory. They couldn't have any modifications to them. So they're a good car out of the factory, and, there's plenty of lots to do on them and all that.
So you got a brand new one, or did you buy a shell and then build around a shell or a frame?
We bought a very trash car at Sally. It was originally built from a brand new car in 1998 by the Rally Art Australia team for Chris Atkinson. It's been through a lot of hands, through Nathan Quinn in New South Wales, over to Victoria with Will Orders, who won a round of the Australian Championship in it a few years ago. And then on DSA, and then I bought it off a mate who bought it over here. So it's been around.
And then tell me, the boys are on from Walkie Club a couple of weeks ago, tell me it's not an expensive sport. Now, when you get to your level, I would have thought it would have become a little bit more expensive at the higher end.
Yeah.
The Scouts Rally, because that's a step up from the Walkies.
It's still a state championship event, so it's still reasonably inexpensive. Still to do a state championship and to do all the rounds, it costs a fair bit. But to do the Australian Championship, and we don't do the whole Australian Championship, we only do about done 3 rounds this year. It's still basically, I don't have any savings.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, there's travelling times, so there's a trailer, you've got to put it on, then there's towing, accommodation, food, if you're going to go interstate, or if you go to Tassie to race, or wherever.
Australia's pretty close.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty time consuming, and you still got to live and have a job.
Yeah.
I mean, it must be pretty hard. So you're obviously fortunate you've got a few sponsors on board that have helped out in certain ways. So.
Yeah.
So, and you put in a lot of hours work, obviously yourself, along with your co-driver or your navigator, put in a lot of hours, just the two of you, on the car.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's mainly family and friends that help us out, working on the car and financially. Basically, I'll live for rallying. I don't know what I do without it.
It's an interesting story because I remember talking to a friend of mine some time ago, some years ago, and talked about Tim Slade, how he got started. And his mum and dad basically mortgaged the house to get Tim started in something he had a passion. And that's a pretty big ask because if he flops out, they've lost the house. It's a real big risk. And I guess it's a lot of parents now. I think Dan Day's mum and dad help out a lot because of the business they have with their work they do on cars, which I know, especially when I've come there, I deliver a couple of things there, and it seems to be Subarus everywhere at their place, but they drive a Holden. It's interesting. Street Fighter. It's a Holden. Why Evos? Why the Evos? They've got the best motor going around, or?
Why am I driving an Evo?
Yeah.
I'm driving an Evo at the moment because it was, the most readily available, or cheapest, fastest rally car I could buy, really.
It seems so popular, though.
Yeah, I mean that and Subarus for rally.
Because they're so fast.
Mm-hmm. You see, the four drive helps a lot.
Yeah, I suppose they seem to be very popular. Cars this day and age after rallying.
Yeah, for sure. And they have been since the early 90s, when there was a big battle between Subaru and Mitsubishi, and it's kind of carried on from that. Unfortunately, they don't really make any Evos anymore, or they're stopping making them, but, the models keep carrying on through rallying.
I saw one the other day, it was yellow.
Mm.
pulled up on Mullers Road alongside of me. But not Mullers Road, on Montague Road. And it was yellow, chrome rims with gold centres. I thought, gee, that looks nice. Then it just got past me, and then there was the Evo badge on the back of it. And it had, you know, one of those 3 foot wide exhaust pipes sticking out the back of it, and quite lumpy. But it was a nice looking car. Now, this young lad driving it, obviously he looks after it because it was immaculate.
Yeah.
You know, and there are lads out there that just pick cars that are pride and joy. But it was an Evo, sounded really nice and lumpy, and he didn't put his foot down, but it was noisy enough without him putting his foot down. So, how many gets away with it? I don't know. Now, the rally, we're going to talk about the rally in a sec, about where it's at, and where it's at, and the course, and everything's available. There's an app, I believe, that people can get to find out locations and what have you. So,
that's right.
We might come back to do that in a sec, but first I'm going to tell you about some wonderful people.
Are you a young carer? Do you help out a family member, like your grandparent, parent, brother or sister who is unwell? There are heaps of kids out there who do the same as you. We catch up for pizza and movie nights and school holiday fun. And there's extra stuff we know about that can help you with schoolwork, help at home, and help you to have a break. Give us a call on 8240-2900 at Western Carers from 9 to 5, Monday to Thursday for a chat.
This has been a WOW FM community announcement.
Thank you.
1-2 o'clock, and then we end up at Goola again from a couple of stages during the rally.
Okay. Now, the Saturday stage, how long is the course for that?
Saturday, I think it's around, no, I guess, because I don't know for sure, I think it's about 130 kilometres.
Oh, so it's a long one.
Yeah. And we have to drive, obviously, around two stages, so that's another 100, 200 kilometres of driving, so... Yeah, it's a lot
so
driving around.
Up with something like 300-400 k's on the weekend.
Yeah, sure. Oh, easily. I think, yeah, well, on the weekend it's probably up around 600.
And in between stages, you have time to do a running repairs?
Yes, so we, like the service park is in Mount Pleasant, so we will leave there in the morning, go do a set, like three stages or so, then we come back there and we'll have so like half an hour to work on the car.
So if there's a kangaroo stuck in your oil pan on the front, you can peel that off and get everything ready to go for the next stage. How big a break do you have in between the stages to do any running repairs?
Not long, maybe sometimes 10 minutes. Oh. Like we have a certain amount of time to get from one stage to the next, and they give us a certain average time you have to meet, and that might only be 50 kilometres on a 100 kilometre hour road. So you can have a little bit of time, but it's usually rough to have to do any roadside repairs.
There was a guy years ago, he used to rally, and his nickname was Buster Spanner. Justin Hanna, years ago, and he was renowned for, he had a hammer, and the old guard, it would be nothing to bang, 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 knock it out so the wheels would turn and things like that. Does that still go on?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, you have to carry your own toolkit and do whatever you have to do to get to the end of these rallies. That's sometimes the biggest challenge is getting to the finish, no matter whether you're on four or three wheels.
Yep. Your fuel, is that the same fuel? So do you have to have like a 44 of the fuel you're going to have the weekend, or do you get time to stop off at a certain way? And probably on the run or whatever.
No, at the service park, you can have heavy carries before the weekend.
Okay, so
they have a special fuel refueling zone.
Okay, so they're all marked with your stuff, so
yeah, that's right.
You don't have to worry about fuel. You mentioned about running repairs. Do you carry a toolkit around in the car with you?
Yes.
Isn't that extra weight that you'd have to carry?
Yeah, it would be, but you wouldn't want to be without it if you need it, type of thing.
Because I would have thought, minimising the amount of weight in the vehicle would be a plus, but you've still got to have these tools.
Oh,
in case of radar, it's probably one of the best things in the world, I guess, because you have to straighten something up sooner or later.
Well, I guess it comes back to the basics. I mean, you don't need a roll cage until you roll the car or crush the car, and that's that extra weight. But you're really going to want it if you
do right. Put it off. Yeah. I mean, I spoke to Bob, who does the scrutineering, and there's a couple of definite requirements. The roll cages, it is blatantly obvious.
Yeah.
You've got to have a roll cage. And the accidents you see on TV, there was one of a drag racer the other day. The car just hit the wall and rolled over, and he got out of the vehicle.
Yeah.
200-something-odd k's, and it went up flame, split it in half, and he just undid the belt, which is a harness. Now, obviously, as Bob was saying, that you've got those roll cages, you've got the 5-point harness in yours, and they are a must.
Helmet,
a must. They've got seats that come over of the side seat, the wing seats, which is a great move because the head will move from side to side, so it protects them. So,
we also run the news devices these days, which stops you from going forward too much.
That's a bit that fits the back, isn't it?
Yes. It goes on your shoulders, and the belts hold the actual device down, and then the device attaches to your helmet.
At the back,
Yeah,
I've seen them, and I thought, I wonder how comfortable they really are.
They're really used to,
Because your head would be pretty well rigid.
Yeah.
So your eyes are doing all the travel. Because your head is fixed in one spot.
Yeah.
Like Herman Munster.
Yeah.
You're sitting there, and the body won't turn, but the eyes have to turn. So,
that's right.
Pretty amazing. But safety is a key issue, that's obvious. So getting back to what I was saying, so the tools, you minimise the amount of tools you've got to carry for obvious reasons, because you want to keep the weight down.
And minimise fuel load and we only ever carry one spare tyre. But there's, you know, there's only so much you can do. We have a minimum weight we have to adhere to as well.
Oh, so there is a, you have, cars have to be weighed?
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
So there's a certain weight that has to be. You can't go any lighter.
No.
And you can go in heavier.
Yeah.
You can't go any lighter.
That's right.
Okay. So the spare wheel tank, if, what, 60-litre tank you would carry?
Yeah, about that. The fuel tank in mine, it's actually an 80-litre tank. It's huge. We'd never fill it, though. We might put 50, 60 litres in the maximum.
Yeah.
Depending how many competitive kilometres we're going to do.
Yeah. So you can actually calculate, if you've got a 50-kilometre your section, you know how much fuel you're going to need in case
of
and back.
Yeah.
When you get back to these points, you'll obviously, are you in communication with the people, your team back at the base, in communication with them, say, listen, we've got a problem with the front wheel, we might have to change the tyre when you get back, so they're all prepared, so you've got 10 minutes to pull in, bang, up goes, off comes the wheel, on goes the next one. So, in the response seat, obviously your girlfriend is there, in part of the team, does all your PA, as well as helps out on the day, and your co-driver as well, and family, I guess.
Yeah, my dad's a big help, as well as people like my mechanic friend James. Can't really remember anybody else right now.
Gee, that's
everybody.
They're going to be dirty on you when you... if you've forgotten, they're going to be dirty on you, saying... I am your number one tyre changer, and you've forgotten me.
They're all legends.
You better think about them in a minute.
Yeah,
we can come back to it and say, oh, I forgot so-and-so does as well. Now, obviously, with all the rally drivers, there's a bit of camaraderie, and you joke with each other and have a bit of fun.
Yeah, sure.
Any of them you want to put dirt on? Is there going to be an opportunity there to put a bit of dirt on them?
Not really. Rallying is just a really friendly sport, other than other sports, like racing and the like. We're all mates, to be honest. We all help each other out when someone gets in trouble.
Even out on the track?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
for sure. I mean, at the end of the day, you want to be the next guy.
Yeah.
But we never like to see people break down or crash or anything like that.
If there was a crash in front of you, you know, the car that's got ahead, they're probably 4 or 5 minutes ahead of you. You come around the bend, you see them.
Yeah.
Do you stop? If it's a serious accident, you think, I've got to help mates here.
Yeah.
Or do I say, oh, I'm going to win this?
Oh, there's a protocol, like, in rallying. Basically, in the car, it's pretty simple. You have an OK or SOS board. If someone goes off or crashes, they'll most likely put an OK board out. That means you can just make it past them. But if there's no board out or there is an SOS board out, you have to stop them.
Who puts the SOS board out? They do.
Yeah, if they can.
But if they're trapped in the car,
that's right,
they can't put an SOS. So there's usually marshals around.
Some of it, not everywhere. Sometimes you're out in the middle of nowhere. So the next car is really the next person who can help.
It's amazing because, I mean, if you see it and there's flames coming in under the bonnet, you would be pulling over and saying, hey, get the SOS board out, your co-driver, I'll get to the car soon and get the boards out. So it could be stuck in there. It can be life-threatening out there. I mean, heaven forbid, touch wood, it doesn't happen this weekend. But I suppose, as you're saying, there are protocols in place. Drivers know, you all know each other.
Yes.
So, that's Bob or whoever.
Mm.
He looks like he's in a bit of bother. I've got to pull over.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, their health is better than when he's there.
Yeah, well, that's part of the rules, so you have to stop.
Yeah. The SOS, so I remember Bob was telling me about that. There's a placard thing that you have, like a lollipop thing with SOS on it.
Yeah.
And there's one for OK.
Yeah, it's just a thing you have. That's right.
Which is interesting because there was one of the Walkie 100, I think, rolled over. Or it might have been the event behind Scotty was telling me.
Yeah.
And someone out there with the OK. And they just kept going. They knew, unfortunately, they pulled off part of the track where they were going. So it was easy for the cars to get past. It wasn't stuck. They wouldn't be bumper to bumper cars everywhere.
That's right, yeah.
It's the last thing you want, bumper to bumper.
Yeah.
So, now, have you thought of anybody you want to put dirt on?
Not really, mate.
I'm surprised you're here. The first person that's come in here that says, oh, yeah, so-and-so, he gives me grief all the time. He's the biggest practical joker of all of them. And, a left-hand screwdriver or something like that, someone that comes up with those stupid terms. I did that on Sunday. Can you just go to the shed and grab me a left-hand screwdriver? And he was only about 9 at the time. And half an hour later, he comes out and says, I've got that screwdriver yet. He said, I can't find a left-handed one. There's plenty of others, but not the left-handed one. I said, well, what's the difference? He said, well, one, it's got L on it, hasn't it? I said, no. That is to say, it was dirty on me. Quite a while, isn't it? It was dirty on me, making a fool out of him, so, yeah.
Yeah, well, one person I'd like to give special mention to, who's also a competitor, is Michael Buffy. He's a really good mate, and he's up competing this weekend. He usually races a Mazda RX-7, but he's actually helped me out with getting me a few tyres today, which has been fantastic, so big thanks to him. He has given me a challenge, though. He promised to give me the tyres as long as I win.
So if you don't win, you've got to get yourself
a tyre after the race. You're
going to be pretty stoked. What sort of tyres do you need? You mentioned you have to have those big knobbly.
But yeah, they're a special rally tyre. There's lots of different varieties for the Australian Rally Championship. We have to run a Kumo tyre.
Oh, yeah.
So that's the control tyre, which is good. It keeps the cost down. So, you know.
Is there a fairly cheap tyre, Kumo?
Yeah, they're pretty cheap. And it stops the top teams from being able to afford really expensive tyres and having a massive advantage there. So we're on a level playing field in terms of the things that touch the ground. So it helps a lot.
Typically, you don't need wide tyres to do rallying, do you?
Mm.
You can get away with a 5-inch rim.
Mm.
You would run 14s, 14.5s?
15.5s,
15.6s.
No idea how wide they are. But
you were supposed to know 3 inch of a car, and you're telling me you don't know the size of the tyres you're running.
Wouldn't have a clue. Wouldn't have a clue how wide they are. They're, just a driver.
So they would be much wider than the average street one.
No, they're pretty skinny to cut into the gravel and the sand and whatever we've got to go.
Why don't they go? I would have thought wider to give a bit more traction on the back at least.
Yeah, definitely. Like on a rear wheel drive car, you want definitely a skinnier tyre on the front and a wider tyre at the rear. But still, you don't want to go too wide because then you'll just skip across with all the gravel.
Yeah.
But definitely, like any car like mine, in the Lancer, which is a four-wheel drive, it's fairly balanced, so you want even tyres all the way around, and the skinny ones just cut in better.
Gee. Very interesting. Very interesting. All right, we might just take another break and come back, and we'll be talking all about Scouts Rally, or State Championships, this weekend out at Mount Pleasant, with Guy, and listen to some great information. Great day for a game of golf.
Yeah, beautiful.
Very close. Well, you know, it's
just all. Oh, I don't think clubs are out there.
Well, what's the fear? You haven't played much golf, have you?
No, I haven't. The game out there.
Well, yeah, might be the club.
Yeah, I think that. What's this one?
You wouldn't try to play golf without the light clubs, would you? So why would you try to give up smoking without asking for help?
Oh, God. Don't
you do it?
You ever kid?
Don't be a mug. Partners with life. They give us the right club for the perfect score. Phone 131848 and quit. Brought to you by Quit SA and the Government of South Australia. Yeah, it certainly was. Now, yeah, we're going to put another song here. We're going to play up and tell me what you think of it. So you can give me a ring. Tell me all about the music.
Shine a star, yeah. Say my love, say my love.
Revids on WOW FM 100.5, and with your host, myself, Greeny, and my guest tonight is Guy Tyler from Scouts Rally, and it's the Rally Champions this weekend at Mount Pleasant. And part of the stage on Saturday, for those that are interested, you can get the caller showgrounds, because one of the stages, they go back, and then the caller showgrounds, you get there. What time do you reckon they'd be at the showgrounds, right?
So on the Saturday,
yeah.
Well, the first car starts doing its thing at 5:30 on the Saturday. And runs probably till about
5:30 at night.
Yeah.
If you get down around 5 o'clock down at the showgrounds at Caller, you'll be able to see the cars come in there and see them go through. They'll probably have a circuit thing they'll have marked out from you go through. You can have a boat peep and have a watch. Or, yeah, now there's an app you can get, I believe, which is Scouts Rally. So if you go to the Scouts Rally,
It's called Scouts Rally SA. It's the app.
Yep.
And that has basically everything on it that you'd want.
Yep.
Download off the, if you have an Android on the Play Store or whatever works.
Or you're on your computer, you can just get into Scouts
Rally. Most people probably get it on their phone these days.
Yeah.
I assume, and then they can use it on the run. But they have everything, all the news, the entry list, the results, you can track the cars, and it'll tell you where, how to get to the caller stage, and how to get to all the other...
So every stage there is, they'll show you where there's viewing
area. Yeah, not every stage has a spectator area, but there is at least 6 or 7 spectator points at stages throughout the forest.
So I reckon the night time would be exciting, because you can see some light in the distance, and hear a roar, and next thing it's upon you, and exciting. It would be exciting to take your kids along, for everybody listening. You go and watch it with your kids. They'll see the lights, they'll hear the roar, and it'll go past, and I bet you kids are going to say, wow.
And they'll be hooked.
Yeah, they'll be hooked on it.
Yeah.
I mean, it happens. But then you could also, on the Saturday, you can go down to Gawler Showgrounds and see a bit down there too, if you didn't want to go up to Mount Pleasant and see a bit of it as well. So yeah, it goes through all day Saturday, and it continues on till
to Sunday till about, it ends up at the Gawler Showgrounds again, about 1, 2 o'clock on Sunday, it ends up.
Presentation down there?
That's on Sunday, yeah, I think that's about 3:30, 4 o'clock. After the actual ending of the rally, after the last run of the Gawler Super Circle stage, they're running a, what's called the Gawler Cup or Gawler Top 10 shootout. So the fastest 10 cars from that have completed over the Gawler stage and like their fastest time will go head to head. There's lots of categories there.
Yeah.
So no matter what category you're from, your fastest time, if you're in that top 10, you can enter in that. And you can, I think the top three are in the running for prize money.
Oh, so there's a few bucks in which would be keen to get for the tires for the next event and things like that. So, oh, that's a great idea. So if people want to see that on the Sunday, they get there on the Sunday, watch the event, and the top 10 shootout, that'd be pretty exciting because they'll always be going full on. So I'm assuming Showgrounds is a circuit work there, and with the start and finish line, and the guys are timed to go around that.
Yeah, it's quite a good second around there of stage. It's dirt, most of the Super Circle stages we do a tarmac, and I don't really like them. That's right. But this year they've put a jump in there, and it's good for viewing, and it's really good fun to go around. We'll be absolutely going through there to try and
to get
some of that money back that we spent on it.
Gee, so they go around the circuit, and there's a jump being put in at the start. Do you know how high off the ground this jump is?
No idea. Really?
It could be 10, 20 feet.
I don't know.
Because that's a fair. If you're going gunning it, it's on dirt.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it'd probably only be about 6 foot high, I would think, and then you're flying through the air.
Yeah, no idea.
But the greatest of these.
Yeah. There's actually a really famous jump in the Crawford Forest, in one of the spectator areas there. If any of you know Jack Monkhouse, he's got a couple of metres there off there in the past, and we're going to be running that again this year, so that'll be very good viewing in the forest. But he jumps and skids there.
Did you go watch any of the Classic Adelaide?
No, I didn't. I went to the Friday night street parade in Witch Street to check out some of the machinery there.
Yeah, some nice machinery.
Very nice, yeah.
Very expensive. Yeah, a couple of mates of mine put photographs on Facebook. Some of the cars and that they saw. It's pretty good. I've been pretty well. I've been on these things racing the Classic Adelaide on the streets. Because this thing was down through Yankalilla. Now I've been driven down there, down the roads down there, and
pretty fast.
And these guys with these highly tuned vehicles on a public roadway. And then I hear on the news today someone saying that, gee, the roads are in poor condition down there. I'm thinking, God blimey, why would you run a rally down a public roadway and the roads are poor and they're all crumbling on the sides?
Yeah. I suppose you just have to drive to the conditions and anything like that, like taking the jumps. If you don't want to break your car, you have to take it easy. And, your own life's in your own hand, I guess.
I suppose, but if you're running an event, I guess you have a duty of care to make sure the roads are safe.
Oh, for sure.
For the drivers, I mean. This is the first year no one's died as a result of it. So
that's good.
Maybe they've picked the right roads. I don't know. I haven't been down the circuit, but they tell me it's good. Now, competitors, how many have we got on this weekend?
There's about 20 competitors in the Australian Rally Championship part of it, and another about 25 in the South Australian Rally Championship.
Okay, now the Fridays is a different one, isn't it?
It's still part of all the rally. It's just for the national championship only.
Okay.
Then the state competitors start on the Saturday.
Okay. So it's the national one on the Friday. So the boys will be going for it. So we're talking the guys at the higher end.
Yeah, now the fastest rally drivers in Australia.
Gee,
are going for it. We're actually fifth on the road for this event, so we're pretty high up. And there's a lot to live up to, I guess.
Yeah.
We did the last round of the Australian Championship at Rally Australia over at Coffs Harbour. We were actually leading the four drive component of that event, which was fantastic. Then our engine blew up in a pretty big way and melted the head.
Pretty devastating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you were leading it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, gut wrenching. It was. I've probably had worse in the past, to be honest. You kind of got to take it on the chin, and you know we took the good from it. We were leading. It's kind of the best and worst place to retire. You know that you had what it takes, but also, yeah, you kind of gave it all up in the process.
Gee. So you had to get a new motor or
yeah,
a second-hand one and then rebuild.
Yeah, no, thanks to Mike Dale Automotive. He managed to get us a second-hand motor, and together with Steve Fisher and his family and heaps of mates, we managed to put it together. About 2 weeks ago, that event was only about 5 weeks ago.
Right.
And it was a massive effort. We got it all together now, it's just been fantastic. But yeah, like I have to thank everybody who helped us out. It was a big effort. And we wouldn't have done it if we weren't in the running for the state championship, but we bit the bullet and we thought we had to.
Are they a 4 or 5 speed gearbox?
No, they're a 5 speed in the Lancer.
Yeah.
I think you can have a 6 speed. Gearboxes are free. Rally cars, you can do whatever you like, really.
Okay.
Yeah.
But the motors, there's certain conditions on motors?
Yeah, typically, yeah, motors have to remain pretty stock. Like it's a 2 litre in the land, so it has to remain to that, and like intake and exhaust have to be
stock
the same. Yeah.
How do they know if you don't put a larger piston or
look, they probably don't at this level. In the World Rally Championship, they, after the event, they'll take their car to pieces and... Yeah, definitely.
Okay. There's one for sheep stations.
Yeah, that's right. So I guess it's kind of honesty at this level. Like, we have to run standard turbos, but we've got... you have to put a turbo seal on that, so we're able to tell that they're legit.
Turbo, do you ever use it during the rally? Yeah, you mentioned turbos, do
yeah.
Someone mentioned me, one on the copper, and I'm reluctant to put one on things I hear.
Yeah.
So I can blow my motor, for starters, it'll give me a certain amount of thrust, or whatever. Obviously, you're doing so many revs, and then you flip the turbo on.
Well, the turbo's really on all the time, I guess. It just runs through the exhaust, and then pumps all the air back in the inlet, and...
It's controlled by itself.
Yes.
But you can adjust your system for the turbo to fire in at a certain level?
You can adjust your boost level, which is the amount of air that is being thrust into the engine from the turbo. It's pretty much stock. Boost level, our one. But
do you feel it when
it comes in?
All of a sudden you take off.
Basically. And yeah, that, we don't rev them, the engines that much. They make peak power at about 5,500 RPM.
Oh, geez.
Yeah,
it's not very high.
It's more about torque than power in a rally car, especially a turbo one.
Okay. So it's a 5-speed box, which is. You can run any box
We have a stock synchro one, which we just keep very maintained. We have a sponsor, Neat Gearboxes, who does a fantastic job at it. But look, it's not worth very much. We're racing against guys with Hollinger 6-speed sequential boxes, which are worth $30,000. So
obviously they got the big bucks.
Yeah, definitely. There's a hard job keeping up with them when you're competing against that, but it's good fun and rewarding when you are able to beat them.
Yeah. And then this motor, you blew the motor, you cooked the heads, did you?
Mm. It basically got really hot. It was really hot over in Coffs Harbour, and we were doing a stage that was 50 kilometres long. And there was a lot of factors that went into why it melted, the head studs lifted, and basically ran lean on two cylinders and put two massive holes in the head that you could see from the inlet to the exhaust.
Gee.
Yeah, we do a good job of it anyway.
Yeah.
Mm.
If you hadn't do a job, maybe we'd have a problem.
That's right.
Gee. So you've got a new motor, boys all around you, helped you, rebuilt it, and is fired up ready for this weekend.
That's right. Yeah,
I bet you are.
Yeah.
Now, who are the biggest dangers? Because you won the Walkley 100, so you would be up in one of the favourites for this event.
Yeah. So for the South Australian Rally Championship, we're only running three rounds this year. We had the ASP Southern Rally in May, and we won that one. And then we also won the Robertstown Walkley 100 a few months ago. And this is the last round, so... We're winning that championship, closely followed by a guy called Jamie Polner from down there, Gambia.
Yep. Subaru.
Yeah. So we just mainly need a solid result we're aiming for. We don't need to win it. We certainly will be going for it.
Yep.
But yeah, the main aim is to bring the car home and try and secure the stage
one finish. Without a quick motor.
That's right.
And the event, the next event for you this year?
This is the last event this year.
Yeah. So now all you can do is hope to do well.
That's right.
And then look to regroup for next year.
Yeah.
How many events is there next year? Is there four?
The South Australian Rally Championship calendar is out. It's probably going to be three rounds again. For the Australian Championship, we're going to have six rounds next year.
Yeah. Yeah. So... why is it they only have that number of events?
I guess as opposed to lifetime racing.
Yeah.
I guess rallying is just it's a lot of effort for the organisers to really put on the event. It involves so much time and effort and talking to councils and organising. Yeah,
and the living at the same time.
And the fact is, there's probably less money in rallying, so to drive around the country to get enough people to do that, to have a decent championship, you really got to, cut costs and you can't have too many rounds.
So what frustrates me about our government, that the supportive of Lycra bike riding around the cities, they're 100% behind that, and other sports as well, but for some unknown reason, the members of Parliament get on TV and they talk about hoon drivers in the street. Oh, these hoons driving their cars around, doing this in the street, doing that in the street. But they don't bloody well provide anything for these kids or young lads to go somewhere. They don't offer any sponsorship like AIR. If the guys want to do drag each other, all right, let's do it in a controlled environment. AIR, prime example, sitting there dormant at the moment. Midweek, come up there, guys, you do a drag up there. Okay. The rally boys. Okay, still drive around the street, hooting, not so much for the rally boys because it's specifically cars are designed for a specific course.
Yeah, sure.
And soft things. So maybe providing somewhere where they can go and practice.
Yeah, we do in South Australia. There's two club tracks. The Summer District's car club has got their own.
Mr. Brokenshire's...
No, we've actually moved from there. From down, I live at Mount Compass, so that was how I got into the sport, by racing at Atlantic Park there with the Southern District Star Club.
That's who told me. So, friends with Rob, and you told me about Jim Slade's story, and that's where it all started. But yeah, it's providing for you. Speedway people. Now, I have a couple of Ray Bartlett racing. With Nicole and Jamie Cobby. In the off season, they go to go karts or something like that. So, why can't there be a track so they can get their cars in the off season and practice? Their only practice is when they race. I just find it's. South Australia, it just seems to be backward to me. If you play tennis, you get on the tennis court as much as you can and practice to improve. If you're a rally driver, if you want to practice, you don't find where. Okay, you can get a walkie park. You can drive up the Truro to get on there to do it. If you want to do go-kart racing here, you can go to these indoor arenas and do go-kart racing. Drag racing, there is anywhere to do test and turns and just do street drags. The lads do their cars up. And there's some magnificent cars, HQ Holdens, whatever, are all being done up. But there's nowhere for them to go. Other than the street.
Yes.
So why wouldn't you provide, as a government, that if you're serious about trying to curb people on the road, and we're up to high numbers at the moment, people dying on roads, and it's not necessarily, I'm not saying it's been drivers that are the ones doing it, some of them are unforeseen circumstances. Adelaide International, why couldn't the government put a program to have that available? The same as Speedway Park. Why can't the government do some funding there to allow people to practice? You know, I find it frustrating. In sport, because I play a number of sports, and you practice. Practice makes perfect. It's the old saying, anyone will tell you that teaches a sport, you've got to practice to get better at it. So, to get better, you need somewhere to go. And there's nowhere provided. Which pees me off. If I reckon if I won the $16 million, I'd buy the Gilman like our past investors were going to and turn that into a Adelaide motorplex. Unfortunately, the government did nothing to assist in that, so other than put barriers in place. So we're at that point now. Have you found that you're going to put dirt on in the mud?
Not really.
You told me off air your girlfriend needs to do a little bit more. You said before. You said that she's just a little bit of media stuff for me, but she could do a little bit more.
Yep.
And if she saw you now, she'd change red.
she certainly does enough. She does a good job.
She does a great job.
Yes.
That's good. So you've got a few messages on your phone there.
I am.
Is someone putting a bit of dirt on you?
Damo is messaging me at the moment. He is one of my old co-drivers.
Yeah.
Fantastic reader of the notes. He's a good mate. He does a lot of grassroots. He's also the president of the Southern Mystery Star Club.
Oh, yeah.
They bought a new property out at Canberra, near Walby Park, up that area. That's for hire, so people can go practice out there. It's a bit of in development because they've only
been moved on to Walby Park, by any chance?
No. It's about 30 k's apart.
Oh, okay. Yeah. What a shame. Because you could combine the two of them,
that would be good.
Good sort of show up.
Yeah, for sure, definitely.
Who else has been giving you duty? There's a lot of messages coming through on that phone, mate.
Steve Vision, my current co-driver. He likes skids and jumps.
Yeah.
Lots of skids and jumps, he's saying.
Amazing. Yeah. Those co-drivers, I must admit, the people I spoke to tell me about co-drivers, I'm thinking, oh yeah, they just read the notes. But it's a bit more than that, because you get a chance to go through the circuit with your co-driver prior to the event.
Yeah, that's
so it's hard left. You have a
Basically, that's the biggest difference between circuit racing and rally driving. It's a lot more than just the driving. And you have to dedicate basically a whole week to it sometimes. So basically, place noting, we go around on the roads or forest roads beforehand, when they're open, in a road car, and basically we make our pace notes. And so I run a 1 to 10 system, so that's the severity of the corners, the angle of the corners.
Okay.
So 1 is a heavy, and 10 is a slight wiggle.
Right.
Yeah, that's right. So, and that really helps. I've got a steering wheel dial on my right road car that helps me do that. We put a lot of other things in, like where to be over a crest, or whether you can take it flat, and what the road surface is, whether you can cut a corner, everything like that helps.
It's amazing, you know, when you talk to people like yourself, it's not just a matter of getting behind the wheel and going flat strap and saying, here's a jump, we just go, we come to this corner, and we just lock her in there, and just put the handbrake in the
side, and get a bit strong.
It's not just that, because it's a fair bit of skill. Well, there's a lot of bloody skill involved in being able to drive a car at any high speed, whether it's a drifting, rally car, or whatever. I'm just amazed because I can't do it. I couldn't do it. I've gone on a straight line fast, and that's enough for me. And now my stage of life is now sit back and enjoy the comforts of a car and appreciate what you guys do. Now, to go around with your driver, you must have a lot of confidence in your navigator.
Oh, yes.
Just navigator or co-driver?
Navigator, co-driver, whatever you prefer. Yeah, you have to have 100% confidence in them, and they're basically reading out what you told them to read out. So they've had to write it down, and they've had to get it all correct. So
you say the fish,
yeah.
Fish, shut up, and just write down what I tell you.
Is that what happens? Yeah.
Shut up. It's a one.
Mm-hmm.
It's a three. It's a ten.
Yeah. One right.
One right. And he's writing down frantically in shorthand, or is he doing?
Yeah, definitely. Like, you know, they can do whatever they want, really, as long as it translates into what I'm saying.
Okay.
He's an artist co-driving.
Yeah.
It's something that I really look up to, I suppose. It's I don't really know how some of them do it. It's a fantastic thing. And especially, you can't be a person who gets car sick either, because you're looking down all the time.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it is, when I've spoken to people, I get an appreciation for what they have to actually do. And it's all types of sport that have been, motorcycles I've had in here, and drag guys, what they have to do in preparation for an event. Same with the rally guys and the drifting guys as well. It's not a matter of just getting a car and drive it, throwing the back end out, pulling the handbrake, and doing this. It's a lot more involved. And she was, I'll take my hat off to you guys, because I certainly couldn't do it without having to change my undies. I reckon if I did around one circuit, I reckon I'd be changing my undies, because I'm too old for that stuff now. I'll stick to my football anyway. Now, we might just take a quick break and come back and talk some more about the Scouts Rally Championships on this weekend.
This is Nash Green. On a night out just like this, take it from me. One punch can be deadly. Thrown in anger, without warning, without gloves, it can kill you. One punch can end their life and ruin yours. It takes grunt to throw. It takes guts to walk away. One punch can be deadly.
Authorized and spoken by Danny Green of. I'm
Anyone out there that watched over the TV on the weekend, I think I was watching One Speed Week or something, and the lead singer for Akadaka, he's a car man, that's for sure. He drives around a Ferrari and he loves racing cars. Unbelievable. Anyhow, you're listening to Redheads on WowFM, and I might just give you an update on the weather, because when we started, it was 26 degrees when we started tonight. And I'll just have a look and see what we're coming in at this present moment. And at this present point of time, it's gone from 26 to 26.5. So it's still the same, but we've got a nice warm week ahead, probably a few showers later in the early week. Probably Wednesday we'll have a few showers. Tuesday and Wednesday, but the rest of the week looks like it's heating up as the week goes on, so looking forward to a great summer's weekend. So it should be wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Now, I've talked to Guy Tyler, who's competing this weekend in the Scouts Australian Championships Rally, and being held up at Mount Pleasant and Gawler. Call showgrounds, so that would be a good one if you live up that way. Just go to the showgrounds on the Saturday and on the Sunday afternoons. But there's an app, so if you get in or on your computer, get into Scouts Rally, it'll tell you on there all of it. So I'm pretty sure Ryan would have it on the not only on your phone but on Google, or get on your computer. And I have Scouts Rally SA Championships this weekend, it'll give you viewing points. Tell you where and when, and I'll tell you what, the Sunday one is going to be interesting, because there's a shootout on the Sunday, top 10 cars over the weekend, having this big shootout, and there's a jump involved at the showgrounds at Gawler, which will be exciting. Yeah, a couple of jumps is there, unbelievable. I would be worried if it was me. I'd be frightened hitting the roof. Have to be once in a car, did that in a Valet. Many, many, many years ago at a billet, and went over a jump in this billet. There was five or six of us in the car, and bang, hit my head on the roof. Oh, unbelievable. Now tell me, your car, the Evo 6.
Five.
Oh,
yes.
Is there a 6 out?
Yes, there's a 6. The most recent one is the 10.
Oh, so 7, 8, 9 are coming on as well.
Yes.
Gee.
Yeah, so mine's fairly old compared to the ones out there.
What year is that?
1998.
Oh, that's not that old. That's right. That's 9 years or so. Gee. Now, to put your car in a position to be able to race this weekend, and you just told us earlier on about Coffs Harbour, you cooked the motor, up the seam, you could see through the head and see daylight through from one end to the other. So, not a pleasant thing. You've had to get a motor, second-hand one, and you guys with the friends had to rebuild. Now, with those people that helped you rebuild,
yep.
You've got to, I assume you'd like to thank them, but you also have some people that have helped you out right through. One's your grandfather, too.
Yeah, my grandfather, he's been a big help all the way along. He has the business, Walker's Creative Art.
Okay.
He does signs and everything, and he helps me out with all the stickers we need for the car.
Okay, with all your sponsors
that
put stickers on there. And
yeah.
Who else are all your sponsors on there?
We've got Wollonga Tyre and Battery, who help us out with all wheel alignments, and we've always got wheels to change in the car and all sorts to do. As far as people go, my dad, Chris, he's been a fantastic help for years now, and certainly financially.
Yeah. All dads are like that, mate. All dads are like that.
Yeah, you definitely need that. My girlfriend, Evangeline, is fantastic on all the PR stuff. My friend, Michael, has obviously helped me out with these tyres and been a good mate for years. James Stewart, Mike Dale from Mike Dale Automotive has helped us out with a lot of mechanical stuff and dyno in the car. Chop, Matthew, my sister Gabrielle. I've roped in for the last couple of events, and you know, she's always helpful to have a set of hands there. I clean the windscreen, takes wheels off, whatever she needs to do, really.
How old is she?
She's 18.
18?
Yeah.
Change your wheel. She can change your wheel.
Oh,
now, there's not too many girls out there that can do it, you know that? Not
there
too
isn't.
Many at all.
There's not many too many of the game. Also there's Trevor Fisher, Ros Fisher, Jamie Robertson, who's been a big help putting the engine together, and along with Fisher Engine Builders. Engine Builders Extraordinaries.
Yeah? Yeah, extraordinaire.
Fisher. I'm not sure how this has been spelled. Engine Builders Extraordinaires.
Yeah.
There you go.
Oh, well.
Yeah. Thanks.
That's a very clicky name for a business. Extraordinaires, yeah. So that will help you out, a whole lot of those, and get on there. It's a real family thing, isn't it?
Yeah,
mum, dad, sister, mates, girlfriend.
Mate.
It's all like that because it has to be, because you haven't got some big major sponsor come out and say, here's 20 grand.
No.
That doesn't happen. And I think it's the same that happens with like Dan Day that does in the Dunlop series. The same thing. It's a family thing. Mum, dad, brother, girlfriend.
That's right.
Oh, I'm not sure if you can afford a girlfriend. Once you get into cars, I find that everybody I have on the show here talks about cars and say, how are you? Then I suppose a girlfriend. Oh, I don't have a girlfriend. Or I have a girlfriend, but we don't go out much other than to the shed to work on the car.
Yeah.
And do you find that's the same? Is your involvement together is just working on the vehicle?
Yeah, I try to take her out as much as I can. It's hard when the amount of costs,
you can get a pretty good deal at the pie cart, you know. So if you want to take her out, why not? You can go to the pie cart and get a pie floater. Pretty reasonable price at this day and age.
Not sure if she'd like that.
Or the McDonald's vouchers. McDonald's vouchers, and you say, I'll take you out to tea tonight. We're going down to Max. Oh, Max Restaurant.
Yeah,
Max Restaurant.
I'll take that one.
It's a Mac Cafe. Yeah, so that'd go down well, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
so I'll take you out to dinner tonight because all the help you've done for me. And here we are at McDonald's. Okay.
Yeah.
So those people all do that.
Mm.
Does Dad actually come to the events and
Works
at the events as well?
Yeah, he's there every event for me.
Is he in the motor industry himself?
That's kind of tricky. He doesn't work at the moment. His wife is working. But he's worked in as a toolmaker.
Okay.
Different,
so he knows
his motor. He used to race Arrow Speedway as well. He's loved cars all his life, so he knows what he's doing.
He raced Speedway.
Mm.
That's interesting. When did he race at Speedway?
Formula 500.
Oh, the GQs. They were the one with the smaller motor?
Yeah, a little tiny, like with the bike engine in. Like a little sprint car, I guess.
Yeah, they were, back in the old days of rolling cars, they used to call them GQs.
Okay.
And then now they've got them. I've seen a few of them around.
Mm.
Quite mean things. They move some of these vehicles. I saw one, a friend of mine's got a business up at Elizabeth. It's got a frame in there of one. And I thought, when I go and pass it, I'll pop in and say hello to him.
Yeah.
And I tried to get in this thing.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not the slimmest person, far from it. I'm carrying a few extra stone. And I found it hard to get in there.
Yeah.
How these guys get in these little things.
Mm.
Put the wheels on it, 12, 15 inches wide.
Yeah.
The wheels on it. And it was only the frame, the motor wasn't in there.
Mm.
And they had wings in them. Throw them around like, nothing.
That's pretty good one.
And some of the girls I have in here that with Ray Butler Racing and Nicole, she had Murray Bridge, I think she lost it on the weekend and did a swan dollar in it. But and they only just built it from the last event last year at Virginia. She went straight into the wall. Got fun from behind. As the risk to take, someone swinged her at the back. And a very good driver, young Nicole, and will be one of the few girls in the 360s, I think she does, in the team there. And Jamie Cobby does it in the 410s. And I mean, that thing's got power plus. I mean, 800-900 horsepower. I think. How in the hell can people control a car like that? But she does. And there's dainty little Nicole. She's up there, and man, she drops. I'd love to. I'm getting to Speedway yet. I'll get there, and I'll be on the next few weeks too, I think. I've got to get ready. Any other people you've got to thank?
I think I mentioned them all.
Yeah, you have. Anything about the rally on the weekend that we've forgotten?
Anything that we've forgotten? Well, maybe about rallying in general. Like, it'd be great just if anyone could just come out and look and experience it for themselves. It's completely different type of motorsport, I guess. And, once you get out there and see a car doing skids and jumps and going sideways in the forest, especially at night, as we said, you'd be hooked. It's a really accessible sport as well.
That's interesting. You say it's accessible. Now, you do teaching of rally.
Mm-hmm.
Up at Walkie Park?
Yeah, I work for rallyschool.com.au as a driving instructor.
Now, that's interesting. So if somebody thought, I'd like to get into the sport, they can see if they like it, they could get into, was it rally?
Rally school.
Rally school.
Yes.
.com.
Yes. So it's basically, you buy your data, rally drive, a lot of people get it for a birthday or a present, but you can, you can buy your own drive and come up there, and like you said, it's a great place to see if you're any good or to see if you'd like it without the investment of actually having to buy a car.
That's what I reckon is the best part, because you go up there, get in a car with you, or go through the requirements of what you've got to do and how to go about it. Then they're taught, you're obviously an instructor teaching it, you go through the sequence of events with how to control a car or what have you, then you get out on a circuit up there and have a shot.
That's right.
Now, it's relatively cheap to get in at that stage. You could pick up an old Datsun 120Y if you wanted to.
Yeah.
Have a frame put in it, or find an old car that a rally person might have.
Yeah.
You might be able to buy it off and then put a motor in and da-da-da and get started.
Yeah.
If you like it, the rally school, you think, this is for me. I wouldn't mind having a dip at doing it. You can get a car relatively cheap and get into the sport.
That's right. Yeah.
Now, to get a license to rally, they have to go through, you're accredited, obviously, they get a license.
Not through rally school, but through CAMS, they can get a license. To get a license just to do club events like up at Walkie, you basically fill in a form, pay $100 or so, and that's all you've got to do.
You're a member of the club, and then
and you've got to go on membership.
Yep.
Yeah. And in events like private property events like a Walkie Park or the Southern Districts track, You can bring any sort of car, put a harness in it, a fire extinguisher, and go nuts.
Yeah. But you wouldn't, you, with the glass in it as well?
Yeah, with the glass.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Gee, I thought you would have need to strip the vehicle. I mean, you don't want a radio in there while you're listening to radio or CD. Well, you might want to listen to a
DACA.
Boy, you turn around the circle that wide in, you go crazy, could you? But the people, so they go to the course, and you have that course for someone to do at rally school. Is that a 1 week or every week?
It's a weekend thing, basically. Every couple of weekends we run the rally school, and we have four sessions a day, and you come, you can do a one session, which is about $300 for that. It's not cheap, but you do get to drive an Evo like mine or a Subaru. We've even got a Toyota 86 out there, which is good fun, little rear-wheel drive thing.
It's interesting, because people say to me, oh, you know, my husband, a driver at AIR in these cars.
Yeah.
But he gets up there at $300-something, because he did three laps. So it's $100 a lap. And as a passenger, then he got to drive for another three laps or something.
Okay.
And I think that's what it was. I might be wrong. I stand corrected. Anyhow, he did it, and I thought, gee, it's expensive. But what a lot of people don't realise is insurance involved.
Yeah, there's big costs.
The insurance is a big thing. Since 9/11, insurance is, like, even in drag racing, every sport I know of now, they've gone bang through the roof for insurance. Now, you obviously, through rally school, have to have insurance, because you don't want somebody flying or hurting themselves at rally school.
No, that's right. I think they have to sign a disclaimer, of course, to put the onus onto them, I guess.
Pretty hard.
Yeah.
I mean, to sign a disclaimer, I don't know how well that would stand up in court. But I suppose they sign a disclaimer anyhow for the event to go, or not for the event, to go through the school. So
that's right.
They're obviously not going to be going flat out first time they get in the car.
No, that's right. It's a pretty controlled environment. We're not really going fast. We might reach 80 to 100 kilometres an hour, but it's basically about car control and, you know, doing big skids and stuff. But, yeah, basically just teaching them how to be better drivers, how to control the slide, how to, get it back when it's out of control. And we've had a few moments out there, but nothing's really going to kill you.
Is it true they say that once you're in the slide, take your foot off the accelerator and you straighten up?
That's basically it. It depends on each situation, really. If you're out of control sometimes, if you're doing a fish, if you lift off your pedals and just steer it, it should come good. It all depends what kind of situation.
I had an MG once. It was very powerful motor, and I put in first and it fished hard, put in second and fished hard, put in third and it fished hard as well. And I used to just take my foot off the accelerator to get straightened up because it was such a rocket. If I had a trailer on the back of my car and it starts to wobble, foot off the accelerator or foot down on the accelerator if you've got the wobbles on the trailer.
That's a good one.
Yes, isn't it?
Yeah, I'd say lift off.
Yeah.
Just let it settle.
Because the slower you go.
Slowing the speed down is definitely going to help.
Going to make it bigger. Mm. The bigger thing. You see people with caravans these days, they get the wobbles in it, and they either put their foot down, or they take it off, one of the two.
Yeah.
But they take their foot off the accelerator, but don't touch the brake, so the poor bugger behind them goes bang straight in the back of the caravan.
That's not good.
So, yeah, strange. So the rally school, is that going well? I mean, are you getting a lot of participants?
Yeah, we get lots of customers every time we run it. It's also run in Queensland, New South Wales and Victoria. Mm. So it's a nationwide thing. It's based out of Sydney. I really love working for them. It's really rewarding, I guess, being able to teach people your skills and really helping them become a better driver on the road and really making them a safer driver. Because if they get into a situation with a car out of control, at least they'll have some sort of idea of how to control it and try to get it back.
There's that soft shoulder in there on a road where you touch it and you can get in a slide, and there's people understanding, what do I do? what do I do here? They panic.
Yeah, that's
hit
right.
Hit the brakes, and of course, you hit the brakes, the opposite is going to happen.
Yeah, that's right.
You're going into the slide. And
you really got to be quick on the steering wheel and counteract the slide there.
Mm. So how long have you been doing the rally school?
I've only been working for them this year.
Okay.
But yeah, it's been really good, and I plan on working for them in the future.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, so employer.
Yes.
So that's a government department or the
rally school? No, that's just a private thing. It's a job, which is fantastic to be able to actually drive rally cars, because we actually take them for a hot lap as well, after they've done their driving and show them how it's really done.
Yeah.
And you can also come up there and just buy a hot lap if you just want to see what it's like to drive.
What's it like to be in a car?
In a car with a professional driver.
The cost of a hot lap?
$50.
Okay. Oh, that's pretty cheap.
So,
I mean, you could go up there and say, I want to do a couple of hot laps, and pay $100, bang,
exactly.
You do it, and say, oh, this is for me, I'm liking this. So you might then enroll into do...
Yeah, and then you can go on and drive yourself.
And then get a car, and then take the mobs and get it scrutinized, and the harnesses in there and all the stuff that needs to go, and fire extinguishers. Is there a certain thing now, they've got in the cars where in a collision there's a water thing goes off on the motor?
Five-on?
Yeah, is it a five-on?
Yeah. That's manually controlled. So if you do crash or just something catches a light, we've basically got the fire tank in the back, which is plumbed to the engine and also the cockpit, and you can pull a lever, and that'll let out either stuff everywhere, and be really messy, but hopefully put the fire out.
But you're still alive. Might be messy, but you'll be alive.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's pretty good innovation.
Mm-hmm.
The dip from the old days where you just had the old seats, and here you've got the wraparound with the big ears on the side, so check your head, the at the back of the head as well. The harness, 5-point harness, I think, I can understand what was never ever mandatory straight away.
It's very worth it.
Roll cage, fire extinguisher in there. The petrol tank is now located at the rear.
Not
on all
in particular. Like, you can run your where it's standard is, wherever it's underneath the car. In my car in particular, it's actually in the boot, so it's a custom job there. But it doesn't. Yeah, that's not really.
It's underneath. Probably you would want it up in the boot.
Most of the people who run it in the standard location underneath, you can run a guard underneath it, and that protects them. It is also a bit better in that respect, because you can keep the weight lower.
Yeah.
But it's always a risk of puncturing it.
Yeah. The location of it is with a... It's not a matter of just opening up the boot lid and mounting this thing in the boot, because there's a certain way of doing it, engineered-wise, to have maximum grip on those back wheels, so you're placing it in a certain location, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. It's snap bang in between the rear two.
That's what I'm saying. It's not a matter of just getting in the car and driving.
No.
You've got to get all those things, and if somebody bought the 120Y and put the roll cage in it, you don't run the 120Y petrol tank in it. You have to think about it. You've got to speak to people.
Definitely. If you want to be serious about it, you've got to
get a nice alloy tank made up.
Yeah, that's right.
Look pretty in there. You can mount it up, well off the ground, because if you went over a jump and you bottom out. You've got a special shock or something.
Yeah, definitely. With suspension, that's one of probably the main modification you do to a rally car. Even if you're just running your stock Corolla or whatever, you really need some decent suspension, like in the Evo. On each corner, it's about $5,000 worth of shocks. So they're not cheap.
$5,000 worth of shock absorbs?
Yeah, any
corner. Are they gold plated?
No, that's good.
What make are they?
They're MCA, Marifu, automotive.
They're a gas one or?
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know. Oil.
Yeah.
As I said, I don't really.
$5,000 for on one wheel, two shockers?
Just one.
Yeah.
So they basically would have to be like the standard mounting points is factory.
Yeah.
They're just a far bigger cylinder size.
Yep. And just take more impact. Because obviously there's On a, what do they say,
corrugation.
Corrugated road. I mean, it's hard to have stiff. $5,000 for one shocker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I guess it was a mate.
Oh, that's just blown me away. I was, you know, a good set of Monroe or whatever shockers are. You know, I was $5,000 for each shocker.
And, yeah, and that's like the top level. That's what you want to spend to keep up with the top guys, I guess. And then it can get way more expensive even, especially once you start getting into the World Rally cars and they have huge long travel suspension, very kind of soft stuff to absorb everything, but then they increase in hardness as they...
Have you ever thought of having the air? Those air ones, you know, you see them really hard. The air tanks with the crystal. That comes in the bouncer.
Yeah,
but having an air suspension.
Have
you ever been tried?
Not that I've heard.
No. I mean, you bust a bag.
Yeah, probably.
So I suppose there's a reason behind it.
Yeah.
The springs. The standard spring?
No, they're a motorsport spring as well.
Okay, so they're especially...
They'll probably be, most of them are progressive, so they'll, get harder as they compress, so they'll be softer over the little bumps and try and maintain the amount of the maximum traction. The wheels.
Not $5,000 a piece.
Not the springs, no.
Thank goodness for that. I mean, that's where your cost is coming into it now. You're just talking about a motor. Now $5,000 for a shocker.
Yeah.
So I thought you have to work for 6 months to save the $5,000.
That's right.
To buy one shocker.
Yeah, well, I guess like my car that I've got at the moment, it would have cost, when it was built, would have cost over $100,000 to build. But when I bought it, I paid $15,000. So...
And then you've had to do a lot of modifications?
Yeah. No, that was ready to rally pretty much. There's always maintenance you have to do on the replacement of parts and everything. But you basically, if you buy a car already done, it's a lot cheaper.
So if you bought this car for $15,000, you can sell the 5 shockers or the 4 shockers. There's $20,000, so you make $5,000 profit straight away. And then you can sell bit by bit of the car.
That's right.
And you can buy something better.
That's true.
And then if you buy something better and sell that off, then you can buy something next one. You could be up to $100,000 after the fourth car. There's people who buy houses these days, you know. They buy a house, it's a basic build, the lock up, then they do all the gardening and everything, and then they put it back on the market, sell it, and the profit they make out of that, they buy another one. I know somebody did that, and after the 10th house, and their 11th house, their 11th one became totally freehold house. By making a small profit each time, they've increased their total. That's an interesting concept. But yeah, it started in America, they did it. So.
Awesome.
Now, we've just about covered everything on this house rally this weekend, mate. So, anybody out there, get the app for Scouts Rally. Scouts Rally SA. There's an app for it. Or you get on your computer, put in Scouts Rally.
They've got a website.
Everything about it. So it should be a good weekend. It's going to be hot.
Definitely will be.
Yeah, you're looking at a hot Saturday 26.
Well, on this one,
it'll probably be updated tomorrow, so it could be more. And on the manual sheet, what did I say it was on the manual sheet? On 31. So it's interesting. On the computer, it says Saturday, 26. But on the printout from the Bureau of Meteorology, it says 31. Anyway, it's going to be hot Saturday and Sunday. So if you've got any problems in your car, stay home.
It's not good.
Because it's going to be a hot one.
Yeah, hopefully we don't have any engine again.
You don't have heating problems?
Not usually. We did in coughs. It got hot and I cooked itself.
Yeah.
It's usually all right.
In some of the car clubs, you go to the hot rod clubs and they have cruisers on. And you get the noise of the odd one or two cars stopped on the side of the road. because they juiced up motors in these hot rods, like a 32 coupe, and the concern pulled over with a water bottle, and it was heated up, overheated. Happens a bit. Fortunately, touch wood, I've been lucky. The copper never has that problem. But so yeah, you're going to have a little hot one, which makes it drier.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, certainly. There's no fire risk as well.
Well, that's the issue, because if it does get up to 31, is whether the event still goes ahead and a fire risk in it, because if they're a forest, the worry is that it doesn't ignite sparks from exhaust or flames or whatever.
Yeah, that's right. The Southern Rally that we did down near Delamere or Yankalilla earlier in the year, that was actually meant to run last year in November. They actually had cancelled the event the night before the rally, which was pretty hard on everybody, but forestry just said they couldn't because it was going to be too much of a fire risk.
Well, touch wood, it doesn't happen this weekend because at 31, let's hope it doesn't happen and you guys get to have this event. Because they wouldn't reschedule, I wouldn't think, because
closure's
been done, council's informed, all that stuff. They could probably just get away with the Gawler Showgrounds one.
Yeah, something like that. And we also run council road stages, which would be much less fire risk. So that wouldn't be too bad. Piece it together if they can, but hoping and praying that it's not going to be hot and we can have a fantastic event.
Yeah, exactly. Where are we up to? We're up to another break, and coming up at 8 o'clock tonight, my old mate's back in the studio, Mr. Rockabilly himself. Come here, do all your rockabilly music, old Rob, and so you've got to stay tuned for that. Great music, and we'll be back in a second.
I'm not afraid to say I've recently suffered severe depression. My world spiralled out of control, and it prevented me from being a strong mother, a considerate daughter, a loving partner. I couldn't get to work on time anymore. I cried easily, and I went walkabout whenever challenges, no matter how big or small, came my way. I lost interest in food and lost heaps of weight. I couldn't sleep through the night anymore. It started to get better when I realized I had to get help. I jumped online and visited SANE.org, and most importantly, I started talking to my family about how I was feeling. Then the symptoms became obvious, feeling extremely sad or tearful, loss of interest and motivation, feeling worthless or guilty, anxiety, impaired thinking and concentration. I was fortunate I could get through it without medication, but sometimes there is no other way than to get treatment. This doesn't have to be modern medicine. You can talk to your GP or local health worker about other options, like individual therapy or community support programs. But if it's hard for you to make that first step, why not call the Beyond Blue info line on 1300 22 46 36 and explore your options with someone who understands what you're going through. Or pay a visit to your local health clinic. Ask a loved one to go with you if you don't feel you can do it alone. Remember, the first step is reaching out to others and asking for help. It's nothing to feel shame about.
This program is funded by the Australian Government Department of Health and Ageing. I'm
It's a really good community, really.
people get hooked for life, I guess, whether competing or officiating, whatever you do, it's really fantastic like that.
It's interesting because in all in motorsport clubs, I've found that against other sporting clubs, there tends to be a bit of egos or competing for who's going to be top dog in the club or whatever. There seems to be that, but in motorsport, everybody seems to get on pretty well. There's the odd idiot, and with everywhere we go in life, there's going to be one foolish person, which I call idiots, out there. There's another word, it starts with a W, but I didn't want to use that. But there's always going to be someone like that. But the majority of people are so friendly to each other and helpful to each other. And it's the same with rallying, you know. The boys, when I spoke to them, they're so cooperative. So, yeah, we'll send someone in, we'll get in there. Like, Ryan couldn't make it tonight. For obvious reasons, because he's got things going on for the weekend. So he's got the number one driver to come in. And hopefully the number one this weekend.
That's the aim, eh?
Yeah, and hoping Saturday, I'll get on there tomorrow night. I know I've got a corporate meeting tomorrow. Well, so I'll get on there and find out Saturday, because I'm tied up Sunday, but Saturday, I might go up for a ride up to Gawler and just see an event and just have a boat beat. Because it's nice to see it, and then I can come back in next week and hear say, I went up to this event, and it was sensational to watch the guys going over these jumps. And see the heads hit the top of the car, and the palms hit the bottom of the car, going out the jump. However, that's been great for you coming in tonight, mate. I really appreciate it, and wish you all the best on the weekend. And I hope you get the chocolates on the weekend and the Shirudi, that you can cash in and buy another $5,000 shock absorber. I was still blown away. $5,000 for a shocker. The man is coming in here after me. Mr. Rockabilly drives a Senator. I think the Holden Senator.
HSV.
Yeah, HSV. I bet he doesn't pay $5,000 for a shock absorber. I reckon he buys the Jeep Munro. No, he's very passionate about his cars, old Rob, but he's more passionate about his music because as a rockabilly man, he is the man in town. We'll give you all that music. So, you've got to stay listening to it, and he'll tell you all the stuff. So we'll have another break, and we'll be back in a second.